Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Hey, good morning, everybody, and welcome to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. I'm Tim Wildman. Thanks for listening to AFR and to our program in particular, Today's Issues. I'm joined by Ed Vitagliano. Good morning, Ed.
Good morning, Tim.
And Fred Jackson.
Good morning.
How are you, sir?
Just blessed to be having an inside job.
Yes, to be working indoors. And we're going to talk a lot today about what's happening in our country, and we're going to focus some on the weather, right, Fred?
Oh, my. These dear folks, here's the headline. A deadly and likely once-in-a-lifetime Arctic deep freeze from the polar vortex settled in over the Midwest today.
From where to where is this impacting?
We're talking, states like Wisconsin, obviously Minnesota.
The Dakotas.
Illinois, Dakotas, anything in that sweep up there. International Falls always gets mentioned in this. But there's a lot of news today, I guess, Chicago, because it's one of the major centers, obviously, up there. But what's happening just in that city gives you a picture of what's happening. Hundreds of school districts shut down. Not fit to be outside.
You just don't shut down schools in Chicago for cold weather, right?
That's right. No.
Unheard of.
Hundreds of flights.
These are dangerous, life-threatening conditions.
We're not talking about a snowstorm either, but United Airlines has canceled hundreds of flights through Thursday. Southwest out of Midway
Airport.
You
mean into Chicago the Midwest?
Into Chicago. O'Hare is the big airport. Midway is the airport for Southwest Airlines. 700 flights at least canceled already because of the cold. The Amtrak not moving any trains in and out of Chicago for the next 24 to 48 hours. The Postal Service in some of these areas, they will not be delivering the mail. Mail always must go through. No. Here's yesterday in Chicago, 23 degrees. Now that's cold.
Right.
Today, when folks were getting up in Chicago, a wind chill of negative 52 degrees just before sunrise. I was watching a what they call a live hit on Fox and Friends this morning, a reporter in Chicago. It was so cold, she didn't get out of the car. She did her live hit from inside a car, and her cameraman was in the back seat shooting her. We've got power outages. Now, people are told to stay indoors, but we've got people have no power, have no heat. So fire departments have to go out there trying to set up, shelters for some of these folks. I don't think I have seen it this bad. Now, they call it a once-in-a-lifetime polar vortex. I've been in some cold areas before, up in Saskatchewan, Canada, where I had to leave my car running all night because it was starting to freeze up. But I have never seen it this cold when so many people are affected. Several people have already died for this. One dear man froze to death in his garage. He was out in his garage doing something, froze to death. This is serious, folks. We laugh. We talk to Jan Markell up in Minneapolis sometimes. We kind of joke about the weather.
That's when it's 20 below. Yeah. 20 above, and it's typical. Right. But
The authorities are telling people, don't go outside. If you're outside, they're saying don't open your mouth.
No.
You think about the—
Don't talk.
Don't talk. The warning is that frigid cold air can harm your lungs when you breathe it in and out.
Yeah.
That's extraordinary.
Yeah. By the way, you can watch our show on YouTube or Facebook. Just go to YouTube or Facebook and type in Today's Issues, and you can watch the show there live. Or we do podcast on AFR.net, AFR.net. Download the podcast, and we post the stories we talk about, too, here. So if you want them for yourselves, to read for yourselves, or pass around to friends and family, you can get them at our Facebook page for Today's Issues. Think about that. You breathe in they say don't breathe, right? Because you can the air is too cold. It can be
normally your mouth warms up the air enough so that when it gets to your lungs, you know that it's okay. But this is so cold,
okay,
that your when it passes through your mouth, it's not time enough, not warm enough. This air is so cold it gets to your lungs. It can really it dries out your lungs. So the normal that's the area where the there's this exchange between oxygen and carbon dioxide molecules. That can't happen.
Right.
It can kill you.
Yeah.
If you're outside. It's that serious.
All right. You're listening to Today's Issues. The next story, Fred.
Well, yeah, cold in the Midwest, but you never have to worry about that in Washington, D.C. There's a lot of hot air there. How's that
You've been waiting to use that one.
How's that for a transition?
You thought about that when you were brushing your teeth this morning.
I tell you.
I can't wait to use this one. Okay.
All right. So today is day one when Republicans and Democrats are going to go into a room and they're going to iron out some kind of package. That's the aim, to iron out some kind of package of a security, border security, that the president might be able to sign. Here's the big issue here. The big issue is over words. That's basically where we come down to that, folks. The Democrats saying we're not going to give the president a penny for his wall. But dozens and dozens and dozens of Democrats are saying we might consider a fence or a barrier. Now, if you're throwing up your hands in disbelief, but this is what's going on, folks, that Democrats don't like the word wall. Nancy Pelosi calls a wall immoral, and she's sticking to that. But we might be okay with a barrier or a fence in some areas. Now, this is where we are in the year 2019 with politics in Washington, D.C. They all say we need more border security, and we want this and we want that. But it comes down to really the Democrats do not want to be seen for a moment. They feel they got a big victory last week when the president, as some people say, caved into Nancy Pelosi's and Chuck Schumer's demand. So now they're at this point. But I think they're also at a point where there's one report this morning that there are 60 House Democrats who are saying, we got to get this fixed. We cannot have another shutdown. Because sooner or later, people are going to start blaming the Democrats for this instead of President Trump.
Well, we've talked about this. It seems like we've been talking about it for months and months, but it hasn't been that long. But this is as Walker said, I think one day this week, this is a problem that has been caused by Republicans as well as Democrats for decades.
Yeah.
So this goes back even past George Bush, George W. Bush. And it seems to be an issue that neither party has wanted to fix. So President Trump campaigned, probably got elected on Build the Wall, as well as Supreme Court justices and pro-life. And, went to Washington, going to drain the swamp, going to get this done. And the swamp has fought back. And both political parties, with exceptions, have been in favor of the status quo. Mm-hmm. I mean, let's face it. If Republicans had wanted to fix this issue, they would have done it under President Bush, had the White House, Senate, and the House. If Democrats had wanted to fix it, they would have done it under President Obama. The first 2 years of his presidency, he had the House and the Senate. And nope. And Republicans had both houses of Congress and the White House with President Trump.
Yep.
So
when you say fix it, what do you mean?
Well, I mean, in terms of having a deal to limit illegal immigration, have a wall. Democrats were for the wall. They talked about 2006. Chuck Schumer, they were all using this language. So why didn't anything change?
Well, I don't know how much you'd have to go back and have a report or look at how much walling, if that's a word, was done, or fencing, or remember, because they have voted for this in the past,
right?
These kinds of physical barriers to be put up, and there are some along the southern border. But when they say our immigration system is broken, you hear that over and over again, right? I don't know exactly what that means. I do know there's, we have laws in place to allow people to, and we take what, 1 million people a year, something like that?
Legally.
You're talking about legal.
Legally into our country. We have a very generous, I don't know if it's 1 million, but it seems like that number is correct. But and the problem is, well, one of the main problems is that people are coming to our country illegally on the southern border who have no regard for our laws. I don't know why no responsibility is ever put on these folks. I'm talking about the people who know full well that they're breaking into, they're coming here illegally, and they come here anyway. And then they come here, they're coming here by caravans.
Yes.
And now, I'm not saying these aren't people who want a better life, but they are intentionally breaking our laws, right?
Sure.
Yeah. So I don't know why nobody ever says anything about that, about their responsibility. It's always our responsibility for their woes in their country, for example, or in Central America, I'm talking
about.
Well,
we give visas for people to come over, and then they overstay their visas, and we go, okay, well, I guess they overstayed their visa. Now what? And then they move on. So when I say the process, the whole system is broken, you have E-Verify, which is not enforced, as far as I can tell. So companies can hire, people can hire illegal immigrants. They don't have to check to see if they've got a Social Security. Every aspect of it is either ignored or unenforced. And we've had both political parties in the past say, this is bad. We got to fix it. So it seems to me there's just a lack of will. So why? Why haven't they fixed it? Remember last week and the week before, all this audio and video of Chuck Schumer saying, this is wrong. It's illegal immigrants. The American people don't want this. Well, why didn't you fix it?
Was that 2009?
2009, 2006, they were talking about building a wall.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, there is some border, and there are some physical impediments along the border. But, the president ran on build a wall.
Yeah.
I think maybe, please understand, I'm supportive of the president's goal here, and that is securing the southern border, right? I think he let people, he let the left define this for him in many respects. That is the wall, as if it were the Great Wall of China, from sea to shining sea.
Yeah.
When in fact we don't need that, as he said himself. But the left keeps projecting that as the image we all want to see. Right. This wall that you can see from space.
Right.
Along the Rio Grande. When what he's talking about is, he's talking about a wall, but he's talking about, you could just as well call it what. Fencing.
Barrier.
I wonder if he'd have used that word if they'd have been in favor. If they'd have, I don't know. Is a barrier immoral, Nancy? I would ask Nancy, is a barrier immoral?
How high does it have to be before it becomes immoral?
Right. But, the left is, and the Democrats have this full support of the liberal media.
That's right.
And so they're not, that question you just asked about Nancy Pelosi, how high does the wall have to be before it becomes immoral?
Right.
That's a question that would be asked of President Trump.
Right.
If he were the one. But to Nancy Pelosi, that question's not asked.
To demonstrate clearly that her argument that it's immoral is ludicrous.
Right.
You just say, you're saying it's immoral. Well, how high does the barrier have to be before it's immoral? You're currently in favor of a fence or some kind of a barrier.
Yeah.
So how high does
the situation we're in right now is there's a three week reopening of the federal government.
Yep.
And then we'll find out where we go from there. I don't think the Democrats are going to yield at all on this. But you think they might, Fred?
Well, the report this morning, there are at least 60 Democrats in the House that are indicating they could go along with some kind of barrier or fence. Now, Kevin McCarthy.
As long as it's 3 feet, not 8 feet.
Yeah.
Like Ed's talking about. As long as it doesn't cross that 3-foot-8-inch immoral barrier. Huh? Line.
House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy, who is one of the negotiators, he was interviewed at Fox this morning. So here's what he had to say going into this meeting, cut three.
Really going to be on the Democrats who made this promise today at 1:30 when they walk into that room. If they have the same language, that is wrong. I mean, this is an opportunity to solve this problem, to listen to what the experts had said, where the Speaker Pelosi would not listen to the experts, and let's solve this problem, make sure we're safe and secure along our border. I don't care what they call it, but it has to be a barrier. It has to protect.
And we're talking about, I think, somewhere between 200, 250 miles where a barrier needs to be constructed. Congressman McCarthy was talking there about the experts. The people who work down at the border say this is needed. By the way, I was just reading before I came into the studio, a coalition of 150 Hispanic pastors have written a letter to the president saying they support him. Mm-hmm. These are people, pastors, Hispanic pastors with congregations, many of them along the border, and they say, you know, the Democrats have been criticizing the president for calling it a humanitarian crisis. They say it is a humanitarian crisis. Because where there's no border, these people are coming across, trying to get across, you know, ladies who are pregnant coming up from Central America. They say there is a humanitarian crisis, and the wall is needed to discourage that kind of illegal entry into the country. So he has all this support, but to go to your point, Tim, you're never going to hear that story from the mainstream media.
Oh, no.
You're not. You're not going to get the full truth about this. Because the mainstream media hates Donald Trump as much as the Democrats do.
Yeah.
And that is part of the answer, by the way, as to why Democrats don't want to budge on this, because their hatred for Donald Trump and their desire to see him utterly fail, that is deeper than any desire to see a problem like this fixed.
Yeah,
well, we'll see what happens. We're the president. I hate to make a prognostication here and be wrong, but I think, now again, when I say these things, I'm fully aware that the vast majority of our listeners are in support of the president on securing the southern border, as am I. But I'm just going to make a political observation that I hope people don't throw things at the radio wanting to get at me because they don't agree with my observation.
Yes.
I'm not saying I agree with the politics of this. I'm just telling you, this is how I see it.
Right.
I see federal government shutdown as a loser for President Trump and the Republicans. That's my observation. Okay. And I think that's why he relented on this, because the pressure was too much for President Trump to bear. And I understand.
Right.
I was at the bank the other day, and a woman who's working there part-time says, my husband works for the federal government. Tim, you need to tell President Trump I support him, but he's got to end this. We got house note, car note, meds we have to get. We can't go on without a paycheck.
Well, then let me
now, they did get their paycheck. They would get back pay. I understand that. But then you have the air traffic controllers.
Right.
Okay, you have a plane go down in the middle of this. It's going to be Trump that's blamed, President Trump, and he's going to be blamed. It's going to be the end of him. Okay?
Well, then let me ask you your opinion, because you were out. So I this is what I said.
This is my observation.
That's your observation.
Don't tell me, Tim, you're wrong. If you want to tell me, Tim, you're wrong about your observation, I'm not saying I didn't agree with the president doing this on the first time. I don't know. I'm just saying, in hindsight, the wisdom of this, I think, is questionable.
All right. So here's what, let's say you're right, and President Trump says, I'm not going to shut down the government again. We can't go that route. I'm going to try the national emergency declaration and to get the wall built by the military. Let's say the courts say you can't do that. Here's what I think the president should do at that point. I think he should go again before the American people and say, folks, I have tried everything I can. I have tried every avenue to secure this border. The Democrats refuse to budge. And so I'm just going to tell you there's nothing I can do. And the borders are, as the Democrats want, the borders are open. I will let them solve the crisis, and then whatever happens is on them. I think the president should say, I've been stymied at every turn, and now the Democrats own it. Whatever happens in terms of diseases, drugs, MS-13, you know, whatever happens, terrorists coming across, the Democrats now own it. I'm sorry, I tried.
And that wouldn't be precedent setting, because Barack Obama did the same thing with gun control. Every time there was a shooting at a school, what did he do? It's on those Republicans because they won't agree with me on gun control.
Yeah.
I think the president should go a little further. The next time an illegal immigrant kills somebody, go talk to your Democrat members of Congress.
Talk
to them.
What else can the president can't do anything else. If Nancy Pelosi says we're not giving you $1 for a wall, that what can the president do? He can't. He actually cannot do anything else.
No. Especially if he tries the executive order,
right,
and the court shoots him down. He's got no.
I got to tell you, I'm torn on that whole question of emergency. What is it, national emergency funding?
Yes.
And the reason is, what if the Democrat president gets elected in 2 years and he wants to use that for something? You know what I'm saying? For some nefarious purpose.
Right. No, you're right.
Huh?
You can't just use it when you want it.
To bypass funding that the Congress won't give him.
Right.
So you don't want to go. So you go through the congressional process. The Congress says no.
I think that's a valid point, Tim.
What is
the president? Then what does the president do?
Your answer?
He is out of options.
Right.
You just go to the American people and say, I have tried. I'm going to tell you right now what the problems are down that border. This is why we need a wall. The Democrats said we're not going to have a wall.
Let the record show.
I'm not shutting down. I tried to pressure them by shutting down the government. They don't care. We tried to pass a bill that would pay government workers while the government was shut down, and the Democrats said no.
Right. So then Americans have to decide.
Only so much a president can do.
Right.
And I've done everything I can.
I still wonder why he didn't try this when the Republicans were in charge, though.
Well, yeah.
Who's that on?
I think it's on the Republicans and President Trump's inexperience. I think he let the Republicans talk him. I think he should have done the government shutdown before the 2018 election. That would have put pressure on the Democrats to come to the bargaining table.
But you wait till Nancy Pelosi gets in charge and then you try to fight it?
I think that's part of the president's learning on the job, and Republicans did not help him out on this. Mitch McConnell could have deep-sixed the filibuster for this issue alone.
Yeah.
We are going to get that wall built.
Yeah.
We are changing the rules for this issue because it's a national emergency. That would have been, he could have sold that.
Yeah.
But that's what the Democrats would have done.
That's what the Democrats would have done. Mm-hmm. Republicans didn't help President Trump on this. Some might have wanted to, but Mitch McConnell.
Meanwhile,
Mitch McConnell said, no, we're not doing that.
Meanwhile, it's a daily announcement of who's going to run for president on the Democrat side, and they try to figure out how far left can we go. Can we go full Stalin? We'll just have to see how far left we can go by full Stalin. I mean, full communist.
Yeah.
That's what some of them are advocating, just write out communism.
Yeah.
I don't even know. Is that even a word that's shameful anymore within the Democrat Party?
Well, communism is socialism with a gun. So I haven't heard any of them, advocate that. But,
okay.
But they're heading towards full blown socialism.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. But yeah. But when you talk about getting rid of private health insurance, like Kamala Harris does, the senator from California, she just says we need to quit beating around the bush here.
Right.
We need to get to the point. All right, we shall return with more wisdom for the ages after this short break. Stay with us.
Next time on Today's Issues, we'll talk with Jan Markell of Understanding the Times.
A one-world system is outlined in the Bible, most prominently in Revelation 13, and it says that there will be a global leader, and all nations and all tribes will bow down to him, and we know his title to be the Antichrist.
Don't miss the next Today's Issues, weekday mornings at 11 Eastern, 10 Central on American Family Radio and on Facebook.
Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman, president of American Family Association and American Family Radio. You can't squeeze more into 3 days than we will in Washington, D.C. on our Spiritual Heritage Tour. In June and in September, we're going to the Capitol, Library of Congress, the Supreme Court, Lincoln Memorial, the Korean and Vietnam Memorials, the Iwo Jima Memorial, the Arlington National Cemetery, the White House, that's outside, Jefferson Memorial, and the National Archives, and we're going to Mount Vernon on that Saturday of our tour. So much to see, so much to do, and it includes lectures and talks from Stephen McDowell, who will be our historian along the way. For more information on these June or September Spiritual Heritage Tours and the separate tour to Williamsburg, Jamestown, and Yorktown, for all the information on this, go to spiritualheritagetours.com. That's spiritualheritagetours.com.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next.
Truett McConnell University.
My name is Blake Bramlett. I graduated in May of 2016, and I graduated with a degree in interdisciplinary studies, focusing in psychology and missions. The professors here at TMU have really impacted my life in more than one way. In the classroom, of course, but really, honestly, what makes the experience at Truett better is that they're mentors to us.
Are you called? Visit truett.edu today.
More people moved out of the Garden State last year. United Van Lines commissioned a new study to determine where people are moving from and to. New Jersey topped the list of most moved from states, rounding out the top four, Illinois, Connecticut, and New York. The National Mover Study found that 57% of all moves within the Northeast were outbound moves to other regions. So where exactly are folks moving to? Well, according to the study, there's a good chance you have new neighbors if you live in Texas, Idaho, Nevada, and the Carolinas. In other words, Americans are packing up and getting out of states with oppressive tax rates and equally oppressive liberal politicians. There's just one problem, though. Many of those migrating to the South and the West are also importing their left-wing values. So here's a friendly piece of advice. If you plan on moving to a conservative state, just leave your liberal politics back home. I'm Todd Starnes.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. I'm Tim with Ed and Fred. We thank you for listening. You want to send us an email, you can do so at comments@afr.net. comments@afr.net, and been discussing what's happening in our world. Abraham Hamilton III, public policy analyst and host of the Hamilton Corner each afternoon, public policy analyst for AFA and host of the Hamilton Corner, a talk show at 5:05 each afternoon here on AFR. Good morning, Abe.
Good morning, Tim, Ed, Fred.
Good morning.
Abe, we were discussing what's happening in Washington with this with the federal government being reopened, and you weren't in here. You didn't even hear this, so you don't even know what I said. I'll tell you what I said and see if you agree or disagree, and maybe it's relevant now. I thought that shutting down the government in retrospect, the federal government in retrospect, was a loser for President Trump. And the Republicans, because they were being blamed and the pressure was mounting. That's why he relented. Do you agree with your brother Tim on this? or do you not?
Or do you feel the need to preserve yourself from the wrath of our listeners? Well,
I know our listeners are saying they disagree with what I just said. Probably the vast majority of them.
So they think that but the it's just shutdown a, and was I'm a not win
saying,
for President
I'm not,
Trump?
I'm not saying the rightness or wrongness of doing it. I agree with the president on trying to do everything he can to get the money for the wall, including shutting down the government. But I'm just saying, I think as a matter of effectiveness or strategy that is proven not to be helpful. But anyway, I could be wrong on this, but go ahead. Well, that's why I don't think there'll be a second shutdown. Even if President Trump doesn't get any money, I don't think he's going to shut down the government again.
Well, let me say it this way. I would be surprised if there was a second shutdown. And I think the outcome of this shutdown underscores the reality, in my opinion, as to, I think, the Republican Party and the Senate Republicans in particular bear a large share of the responsibility here because for two reasons. One, these things were able to persist because of a filibuster. But two, it underscores for me why the president didn't do this earlier in his administration.
Before the midterm.
Before the midterm election. I mean, I felt like his position would have been more welcomed by the American people because he campaigned on building a wall as a primary feature of his platform. The American people had just elected him in spite of the world already coronating Hillary Clinton. And he could have easily said, listen, I said I was going to build a wall. These people are opposing it. This is what I was elected to do. So this is what we're going to do. But I think by waiting, he lost some leverage. And I think one of the indications that supports this is if you remember when it was called the Schumer shutdown previously for a day or two, when the Democrat base recoiled against Chuck Schumer and said, hey, I mean, we're all for, you know, open borders, but not at the expense of the American people. And I think the president could have pressed that argument earlier on in the process. So that's a long way of saying that I do think President Trump does leave this with a bit of egg on his face in this current situation.
But so you don't think there's going to be a second government shutdown?
I would be surprised. I know they're saying we're going to do it. Unless the only caveat I will offer in that is if some type of legislation was offered that would make sure that the 25% of federal workers are paid despite a shutdown.
But you have to have Democrats to vote for that in the House.
And the reason why I'm saying that is what leverage does the president have now over Nancy Pelosi and the Democrats? I mean, why would they give a penny to anything he would want to do? And I think they know that. And I think that's one of the biggest things that they learned from this is, hey, we can deny everything. We can refuse to pay federal workers despite the shutdown. We can refuse to negotiate. And nothing is going to happen to us because it will be the president taking the responsibility for it.
Yeah, right. Well, the president said, I proudly shut down the government.
He did.
He said, I'll own it.
He did.
So when he
and
said
then
that,
try to reverse course and say it's the Democrats shutting the government down. And
that is part of Trump's weakness is he gets schizophrenic sometimes.
Well, I think it's a lack of
discipline.
Political experience.
Yeah.
He's used to an entirely different world, and I know he wanted the job, so he got the job. But that's why I say, if you can, President Trump, listen to your advisors who are aware of how the swamp operates, and understand that the Democrats are walking you into a trap. And I'm not sure that the president is listening to advisors because right now, this is why I say this should have all happened before the 2018 election. When you could have put some pressure on Democrats, right now, Nancy Pelosi, listen, if she wants to be cutthroat, I would fill every bill that comes out of the House of Representatives with everything Democrats want and dare the Republicans to say no. And if they say no, she's going to say the Republicans are shutting down the government again. What's to stop her from doing that? We're talking about the Equality Act. We're talking about anything she wants. Matters of gun control, anything she wants, and Republicans say, no, we're not going to do it. And she, well, I guess the government doesn't get funded.
Yeah.
Why won't she do that?
Yeah. I just think sometimes the president hurts himself by making statements that he has to walk back if he walks in his own way.
Right.
Well, in other words, when you say I'll be proud to shut the government down when you're meeting with Chuck Schumer and Nancy Pelosi in a high profile meeting, and then it does get shut down, and then you're trying to blame Schumer and Pelosi, you sound like you're talking out of both sides of your mouth. It doesn't help you. I'll just put it that way. But anyway, we'll see what happens with that. Fred, there's another bill. There's a state bill in Virginia you wanted to ask Abe about, right?
Yeah, I know. Abe gave fantastic coverage on his show last week to what happened in New York with the Governor Cuomo there signing into law just a horrible pro-abortion bill, basically ending the life of a baby up to and including the end of the 9 months pregnancy. Well, not to be outdone, at least one Democrat in Virginia wants to do the same thing there. Her name is Kathy Tran, Democrat delegate Kathy Tran. She went before a committee there, legislative committee there yesterday, and Virginia Republican delegate Todd Gilbert questioned her about her so-called Repeal Act. Now, it's called the Repeal Act because it aimed at getting rid of any restrictions to abortion at all in Virginia, and then added to that, allow abortions up to and including the very day, the very moment a woman would give birth to a child, she could say, I want an abortion. So what you're going to hear are the voices of the Republican delegate Todd Gilbert, but also mainly the voice of Democratic delegate.
You mean
Kathy
at the state
Tran.
Capitol in Richmond?
Yes.
When they're debating this bill.
Yes, because in Virginia, the representatives are referred to as delegates. So delegates. It's the Virginia House of Delegates.
Gotcha.
Yes. All right. Go ahead. Cut number one.
This bill would remove the following statutes: trap or targeted regulations of abortion providers, removing language classifying facilities that perform five or more first trimester abortions per month as hospitals. It would repeal Virginia's informed consent mandatory ultrasound and 24-hour delay. It would repeal the requirement that second trimester abortions be performed in a hospital licensed by the State Department of Health. It would repeal the requirement for two additional physicians in cases of third trimester abortions.
Delegate Tran.
Yes, sir.
How late in a pregnancy would your bill apply if a physician was simply willing to certify that the continuation of the pregnancy would impair the mental health of the woman? How late are we talking about?
Through the third trimester. The third trimester goes all the way up to 40 weeks.
Okay, but to the end of the third trimester?
Yep, I don't think we have a limit in the bill.
So where it's obvious that a woman is about to give birth, she has physical signs that she is about to give a birth, would that still be a point at which she could request an abortion if she was so certified? She's dilating.
Mr. Chairman, that would be a decision that the doctor, the physician, and the woman
would make at
that
point. I'm asking if your bill allows that.
My bill would allow that, yes.
There you have it. And the governor, the Democrat governor of Virginia, Ralph Northam, has already said he supports this bill.
Well, I don't know what the makeup is of the legislature in Virginia. I just know Virginia is not as liberal as New York. But if you can pass this, anyway, so you don't know, Fred, I'm asking you, you don't know the status of this in terms, except that the governor says he will sign this?
Yes.
He's a Democrat?
If it makes it through.
You know any more about the chances of this passing?
No, I don't know more about the chances of it passing, but I do know that this is a continuation of what appears to be a wave of efforts by Democrat state legislators who are trying to prepare their states for the imminent, in their view, overturn of Roe versus Wade. And I do think part of the push for this is to create a bit of furor around a Democrat base to put pressure on the Senate should President Trump get the opportunity to nominate an additional Supreme Court justice. And, you know, the thing that is, I'm sitting here sick to my stomach, because in the process of studying this and the New York law, I realized that there are lots of states all over the country that already allow partial birth abortion or late term abortion, not partial birth, because the 2003 partial birth abortion ban didn't really criminalize partial birth abortion. It just indicated to the pro-death advocates that they needed to find a new way of doing it. So what literally happens in many of these instances now that they inject chemicals that provoke cardiac arrest in babies in late terms, in utero, and the mothers carry the babies, dead babies around for several days and then still deliver, but deliver stillborn, stillborn babies. And so it's.
You know, the only answer, this is horrific. And what New York did, it made me sick.
And they were proud of it.
Listening to her talk about all these limitations they're going to repeal.
Yeah.
The only answer to this, and this goes back to the issue of slavery, when President Abraham Lincoln said, we can't be divided on this, we have to be all one thing or all another. Overturning Roe versus Wade is not enough because of what these states are doing. The only thing that changes, that ends this, is a constitutional amendment protecting life from conception on. That's the only thing.
You mean
thing.
In Virginia? Or you,
no,
you
I'm talking nationwide. About nationwide.
Well, it's not going
to
happen.
Well, yeah. I'm just saying that's the only way to end this issue once and for all. Just like with slavery. I'm sure there are people who said that slavery will never end. That's the only cure for this ill in this country, because states like New York and Virginia, they're repealing everything. 24-hour waiting. You don't have to have admission privileges in a hospital.
No.
This is a deep and dark sickness.
And I said the Nazi Party has been resurrected, and I know that's could be a provocative statement, but think about a couple things. There was the draft leak for a Democrat House of Representative committee that's run by a Democrat chairwoman who's proposing removing God from the oath that witnesses have to take to testify before the committee. You had 2012 where, regardless of the ending vote, the Democrat Party booed God's presence in their party platform. You have the reality that people like Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez are proposing a 70% top marginal tax rate that at best would only provide the government somewhere between $300 billion and $720 billion, which shows it's not nearly enough when you're proposing, Medicare for all, for example, single-payer health care.
Free college tuition.
$32 to $40 trillion. And you have these people who are now saying, oh, no, a baby's not a baby. New York law has redefined human to mean anyone prior to birth. This is what the Nazi Party, the National Socialist Workers' Party of Germany did.
Let me just say, while we're talking about the bad news on this in terms of what New York's doing, what Virginia's proposing to do, there are states that are defending the unborn babies.
Yes.
As much as they possibly can. Right. States like Iowa, for example, Mississippi.
Our own state here.
Our own state. Those are two. Texas. Yeah. There are others. I don't know. Maybe Louisiana. But there are others. There are state legislatures and governors who champion the right to life, and so we need to applaud them.
Right.
But what happened in New York? New York is so liberal. That kind of surprised a lot of people.
Yeah.
But they've been trying for 10 years.
Virginia is not. Virginia is a. Yes, it's gone blue in some statewide and presidential elections, but it's still close. And if you wouldn't have had all the people move into Northern Virginia who are from other liberal places.
Right, so that they could work in Washington.
Yeah, so they can work in the Washington, D.C. area. If you get south of there, that D.C., blending into Virginia, if you get south of there, with the exception of maybe Richmond and Charlottesville, you it's basically a red state.
Right.
So, you'll be tackling this issue this afternoon on your show?
We'll see. I'm thinking about it. I don't know, because this is it's a sad.
Fred wanted to say something.
Yeah. Just one more point. I mean, you've compared it to horrible events in history, the Nazis. I'm thinking about this morning. I went back to the Old Testament. What is the difference between what the Democrats want in these states and are getting and the Canaanite idol Moloch, where babies were sacrificed and they beat the drum to drown out the cries of the... What is the difference?
Well, the difference is there is no moral difference, Fred.
Yeah.
I'm answering the question. Did you ask it at Abe, or am I interrupting the...
Go ahead.
Abe or whoever.
Okay. The reason they can get away with this is because the baby... You can't hear the babies or see the babies.
Yeah.
Okay. If so, because the unborn can't, you know, they can't go on an interview on Fox News or whoever, they can't, they don't have anybody to, you know, we have to champion that, we have to champion their cause because it's out of sight, out of mind. I don't, as callous as we become in this country, I still don't think you could butcher 1 year olds and get away with it. I think 99.9% of American public would, if you were dismembering 1 year olds, would be appalled by it.
But well, because they're allowed to leave them on the counter and die.
Where?
In New York. If they're
yes,
born.
Yes, but
born
you know what I'm saying. Well,
you mean if a public.
If you had abortuaries for 1 year olds, do you think that would be acceptable to.
Oh, no.
That's one. Why not? Yeah. Why is there a difference between that and the 9 month pregnancy? You understand what I'm saying?
Well, but if. Well, I understand what you're saying, but if people saw babies aborted in the womb, they wouldn't support it either. That what I'm saying is, I guess this is the point you're making, the fact that the American people don't see it done. If you showed on national television a baby being dismembered in the womb, I think the country would flip. A so baby why, being dismembered?
So why, is, on the, on why television? Won't Republicans propose some type of measure that requires these legislators before appropriating funds for people, yeah, entities that that provide abortions and things of that nature, to require them to observe the procedure before a procedure. It's not a procedure, it's murder, but you observe
saw, you, it. You saw a baby squirming in the womb trying to get away from that,
yeah,
and then being dismembered? My God, it's bringing tears to my eyes just thinking about that. The country well, would change overnight on the issue of abortion. I think.
Yeah, but I don't think that's effect. You're right. I think that does change hearts and minds, but it doesn't change the law.
Well, it wouldn't change Democrats because these people are depraved. They don't care. Right. They don't care that you're murdering unborn children. They know they are, but they don't care because they are elevating because the individual's right to have sex with whomever they want and get rid of the consequences of that supersedes everything else. That's why they're doing it.
Right.
But I'm talking about people who...
But, you know, reading through the Old Testament now, as I am, it does remind me of what Fred's talking about. Child sacrifices to the false gods.
Yeah.
All right, Abe, thank you so much. We'll keep working and praying for the...
I just got to go out and eat a pizza or something.
It is. But like I said, you got to remember there are some good things happening, too.
That's true. That is a good point.
And we just, our listeners just provided how many thousands of ultrasounds?
That's right. It was with almost 3,000. You're right, Tim. And we need to remember that when times are dark, Christians need to keep their eyes on God. God is overseeing this.
Pizza's not going to get it in the
pizza
end.
You're right. Pizza's not going to get it. That's a very good point. We need to remember that God is in charge, and this we are on the right side of this issue.
Amen.
Right, and we keep doing good.
Yes.
And we keep there are some good things, a lot of good things happening.
And we'll save as many babies as we can along
Amen.
The way.
Praise
That's,
God.
That's right.
You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Well, Lynn Ingram joins us once a week, usually. Lynn is the founder, along with his partner Jim Duncan, of the Redeem Clean Laundry Detergent product that you hear us advertise here or promote here on American Family Radio. And Lynn, so if you want to, a lot of people said, where do I go to test this? I want to try this Redeem Clean.
Right.
Go to AFAstore.net. Just simply go to AFAstore.net. And get your Redeem Clean laundry detergent and support American Family Association, American Family Radio in the process. Lynn joins us from Abilene. Good morning, Lynn.
Good morning, Tim. How are y'all doing today, sir?
Thank you for staying on hold for 10 minutes waiting on us to get to you.
Listen, I'm just glad we're talking about cleaning clothes instead of some of the issues y'all talk about. That is well above my pay grade.
Yeah. Well, you know, appreciate it. We do try to keep our listeners informed about, you know, the good, bad, and the ugly, as they say. And sometimes we got to talk about the ugly. Hey, let's speaking of ugly, we got ugly stains on clothes. How you like that segue? Huh?
What a segue! Wow, that's good.
Hey, let me ask you this, Lynn. You weren't expecting this question. Does cold weather or make any difference in terms of clothes? And I know static cling is a major. Why do we get the static cling a problem with clothes in the winter?
You know what? That is really a good question, yeah. And I wish I could tell you. I do not know, Tim. I do not know.
Well, make something up, Lynn. You're the laundry
well,
man.
Well, it ties back to Renegade Dyes, okay?
Are you seriously making it up? Okay, you're making it up. All right. Well, anyway, so I just wondered, and that's a, you know, get the static cling going on. It's, all right, so.
Clearly a first world problem, but still a problem.
I wish I could tell you. I don't know. I just know how to cure it. I don't know what causes it. I know how to cure it.
This is proof of why we should have all paid a little more attention during science class in school.
All right, here's the real question. Here's the real question for you, Lynn.
Yes, sir.
What really makes this product, that is the Redeem Clean, our program different to other retail brands?
Tim, if we would have developed this product to go to the public, we would have cut it with other fillers like water and salt on the water on the liquid and on salt on the powder to increase and maximize the profits for us. We just could not do this. When Jim and I started working on this, we just said we've got to give a great product because you can sell anybody one time, anybody, anything for the most part. But we want people to realize it is a great product, it's a great cause, and it's the only profit that is in there is for y'all, is for AFA to y'all go do what you're going to do. So instead of us paying these huge dollars for TV and other advertising and marketing, we take that money that we would have normally used in a for-profit enterprise and give it to AFA for y'all to use in your enterprises and for you to share the love of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Period.
Amen.
So that's kind of what we do. I know that sounds a little different.
Yeah.
But you won't hear that in the Business 101. But
right.
God has his own economy, and he's called us to do this. And he's called us, to just like you guys, y'all meet every morning to talk about what you're going to talk about for the day. Mm-hmm. You're prepared. You know your business. We're prepared. We know our business, and we know this business real well.
Amen. Amen. Talking to Lynn Ingram. Lynn's been in the laundry business for many, many decades there in Abilene, and he and his partner Jim Duncan came up with this idea. They're supporters of AFA and AFR, and they wanted to, they wanted folks to, hey, when you buy laundry detergent, support our ministry. And so just simply go to afastore.net, afastore.net. Buy yours. You can subscribe for a monthly basis, or you can one-time purchase, and then if you like it, buy it again.
Right.
You can do it either way, afastore.net. Lynn, thanks so much for being on with us, brother. Sorry we got you on late there, but God bless you. And
God bless.
Thank you, brother. Take care.
Hey, we hope we'll see you soon. Thank you, Tim.
Okay.
Bye, Ed.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
See you, guys.
Bye. Great guy. Lynn Ingram. You know, I've heard other people say that they've heard what Lynn has to say and Jim, and they've thought about ways to incorporate their business into supporting ministry.
Right.
Not just necessarily us, but there are a lot of worthwhile ministries that deserve support. And I think it's always refreshing when you see people thinking beyond just the monetary success of their own.
Yeah, how can I invest in the kingdom?
Yeah, their own pocketbook.
Right.
And all right, Fred, thank you.
Absolutely.
Folks, we shall return in 5 minutes with more of today's issues with Steve Jordahl. Ed and I will be with Steve, and we'll see you back here then.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.